We'll be looking this morning at the resurrection of Jesus. On Friday, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And for one particular person named Mary Magdalene, that was the worst day of her life. You see, Mary had a relationship with Jesus that was very unique. The Bible says that Mary was actually demon-possessed by seven demons. In the Bible, the number seven means complete or whole. That means this lady, Mary, was wholly or completely controlled by evil, the demonic. Now, you may be a little skeptical of that and say, I don't know if I believe that's really true, but let me ask you, how do we explain serial killers? How do we explain people going to schools and killing children if we don't believe in evil or the demonic? There is a real evil in this world, and Mary Magdalene was controlled by evil spirits. But one day she met Jesus, and Jesus totally set her free. And it changed Mary's life. It says those seven demons were cast out of her, and she began to follow Jesus. Now, there's a rumor about Mary that many of us today, if you're in the church long, have heard. Somebody says that Mary was a prostitute before Jesus delivered her. But you know, in the Bible, there's no place in the Bible that says Mary was ever a prostitute. We're still telling rumors about this lady 2,000 years after she lived. Some of you know what that's like, because people have spread rumors about you that aren't true. And no matter what you've done to clear your name, they still talk bad about you. That was Mary. But she still followed Jesus. And here's what's interesting about Mary. The day that she was filled with seven demons is not the worst day of her life. Do you know what the worst day of Mary's life was? The day Jesus died. See, the man who delivered her, the man that showed her love like no one. This lady, can you imagine how men treated her? Can you imagine the life that she had lived? And then she found a man that truly brought her love and truly brought her forgiveness and truly brought her freedom. And he was killed. He was crucified, not because he had committed any crime, not because he had committed any sin. He was crucified because he was the Son of God. And the worst day of Mary's life is not the day she was possessed by seven demons. The worst day of Mary's life is when she saw Jesus hang on the cross. Because on that day, all of her hopes died. All of her dreams died. Everything that she lived for was gone. Some of that's happened to some of you. You've lost dreams. You've lost your hopes. People have betrayed you. People have spoken evil about you. People have done you wrong. Or maybe you put your hope even in a religious leader and that person turned out to be fake or whatever, and you've had your dreams crushed and your hopes dashed. But we've got good news for you. That wasn't the end of the story for Mary, and it's not the end of the story for you. In your Bibles, in John chapter 1, it says this, early on Sunday morning, so Jesus died on a Friday, but thank God for Sunday, amen? Amen. Look at this. While it was still dark, so it was really early in the morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away from the entrance. So Mary ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple. Now, in this story, it doesn't tell us the other disciple's name, but here's who we believe that is. We believe it was John because we're reading the gospel of John. And so John, being humble, didn't want to mention his own name. So he says Peter and the other disciple, but we're pretty sure that other disciple was John, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Look at verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb, and they were both running. So they heard somebody had stolen Jesus' body, or they heard that Jesus' body had been taken out to him and moved, and they were so they run to the tomb. The other disciple, now look, John was humble and didn't mention his name, but he did mention that he was faster than Peter. Look at that. The other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He wanted everybody to know, John might be the one Jesus loved, but I outran him. I got there first. These people are human beings just like you and I. That's something, guys, if we were writing, we would put that in there, right? I mean, if we got to the tomb first, we're going to make sure everybody for eternity knows I outran Peter. So he stooped, John did, looked in the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings around Jesus lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived to the tomb, and he went right inside. Now, I don't know about you, running inside a tomb, I don't know, but Peter's just bold. He was slow, but he was bold, right? So Peter runs right into the tomb. And he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Look at this. Then the disciple who outran Peter, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and look at this, he believed. Doesn't say Peter believed right away. It took Peter time. Peter saw the empty tomb, and he was confused, and he wondered. John ran in, and he believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus was raised from the dead. And then they both went home. My first point for this morning is this. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. This was the worst day of Mary's life. Worst day of the disciples' life, seeing Jesus die on a cross. But when they heard something happened to the tomb, they didn't hesitate and they didn't wait. They ran to Jesus. This morning, if you're hurting, run to Jesus. If you're lonely, run to Jesus. If you're sick, run to Jesus. If you know lack in your life, run to Jesus. If you've been betrayed, sir, run to Jesus. Peter and John and Mary, when they heard something happen to the tomb, they ran to Jesus. And I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you have a need in your life, if you're here this morning, there's an emptiness inside of you, you can run to Jesus. Run to Jesus no matter what. Run to Jesus as fast as you can. This is Resurrection Sunday. The tomb is empty. You don't have to hesitate. You don't have to wonder. Jesus is alive, and you can run to Jesus this morning. You can run to him. But isn't it amazing? Look at this. Peter and John saw the empty tomb. John believed. Peter wondered. And then they all went home. Except Mary. Look at verse 20. And Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, you look at that word wept, she's crying hard. Mary is hysterical. You've been around people when they've heard that a loved one died. I mean, she's not just crying little tears. Mary is, she's crying, right? So she's weeping, but then she stooped in. See, in that culture, she didn't go in the tomb first. Peter went in, then John. Mary is standing kind of on the outside. Peter and John go home, and then she looks in. Here's point number two. Stay present with Jesus, even when you don't understand. Listen to me. It's one thing to run to Jesus when you have a need. It's another thing to stay in Jesus even when life gets hard. See, I've noticed something about people is that they'll run to Jesus when they have a need, but they don't stay in Jesus. I'm actually dealing with a guy right now that several months ago came to our church and accepted Christ as a Savior, and God began to work in his life. He even got baptized in water. But then I started noticing he was here every week. He's here with his kids. But over time, he started to miss every once in a while. Then he missed the second week. Then he missed the third week. And I got worried about him, so I started texting him, hey, been missing you. And always something happened. Kids were sick, or I had to work, or I've got the flu. And you know what? Now it's been like months, and he hasn't been here. And how many of you know, we know what the story is, that if he doesn't get back in church, he won't stay in Jesus. He ran to Jesus when he had a need, and Jesus met him where he was at. Jesus has changed his life, but he didn't stay in Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning. And in this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to run to Jesus. But you know what? There's a deeper commitment we're asking you to make this morning. We're wanting you to stay in Jesus. We're wanting you to make a commitment to him that lasts a lifetime. Because it's one thing to be touched by Jesus in a moment. It's another thing to live for Jesus for the rest of your life. I love history. I love to read history. I love to watch history. I like those old PBS shows, you know, on history. My wife rolls her eyes. She takes a good nap. And I watch history. You know, the early church was under Roman Empire, Roman rule. And there was a Caesar named Nero who became in power, and he hated the Christians. He hated Christians so much that he began to persecute them, and Christians began to suffer greatly. Here's just two things that we know through historical record what Nero did to Christians. Number one, he would have them arrested just because they were Christian. And in the Roman Colosseum, they would fill the Colosseum up with spectators, kind of like we do for a football game. And you know what they would do? They would let the lions out, and they would watch lions eat, kill, and eat Christians for sport. Now, we thought when the UConn and South Carolina coach got into it this weekend, that was a big deal for you sport fans. But back then, they would let lions eat Christians, and people would cheer. That's pretty gross, right? That's some evil stuff. Do you know what else he did? This was even more evil. This was before electricity. And so they would have chariots pulled by camels or by horses. But at nighttime, they couldn't see. You know what they did? They would put tar on Christians and put them on a pole and light them on fire to be their streetlights. This is what was happening to Christians in the first century after Jesus was resurrected. But Christians didn't leave Jesus. They didn't just run to Jesus when they had a need. They stayed with Jesus. So it was illegal to be a Christian. It was illegal for Christians to gather, to have church, or to meet like we're doing today. So you know what they did? They began to meet in the catacombs. These were underground graves. And Romans thought they were unclean, so the Romans wouldn't go to these underground graves. So Christians, 5 or 10 of them, would meet in the catacombs, and they would have Bible studies or pray in these underground graveyards. It's the only place they could meet. Who's ever heard that the fish symbol meaning Christian? You ever seen that? Like this little symbol of a fish? So you know where that started? Started back then. You know why? Because in these underground caves where they would have tombs, they would carve a symbol of a fish into the wall, and that's how Christians knew that was a meeting place for a Bible study or for a prayer meeting. They didn't have texting back then. They couldn't text, hey, we're going to meet 6 p.m. in the cave. So they'd have this fish symbol that represented Jesus. And so when the Christians saw the fish symbol in the wall, they knew Christians met here, and I could go there and pray, and I can go there and study God's word. That's staying in Jesus, right? I want to ask all of you, are you staying in Jesus? It's one thing to run to him, and I'm glad this morning we can run to Jesus. And if you haven't ran to him yet, I encourage you, let today be the day you run to Jesus. But you know what? It takes some grit. It takes some resilience. It takes faith to stay in Jesus. Some of you are guests here this morning. I just want you to know, we're really glad you're here. We prayed for you. We prayed for this day for weeks leading up to this day that you would be here today. And I hope that if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, that today will be a day that you run to Jesus. But we want you to do, don't just be an Easter-only Christian. Don't just be a person that go. No, there are some people that go to church on Easter, Christmas, wedding, funeral, right? Now, you notice I'm not wearing a tie this morning because I have a rule. You got to be married or buried for me to wear a tie. Married or buried. That's it. I'm joking, kind of. Anyway. Whoever thought of putting a noose around a guy's neck and putting it tight, I think was a woman. I don't think any man ever put a tie around his neck and go, oh, this is a good idea. Anyway. I'm off my sermon now, so I gotta get back. Can I get an amen from all the men? Amen. They look nice, those of you wearing them. I don't want you just to run to Jesus today. I want you to stay with Jesus. I don't want you to be like the guy that I talked about first that finds freedom in Jesus, finds healing in Jesus, finds a new life in Jesus. You know what? And what I've learned for most of us Americans, thank God we're part of this country, we have the freedom to gather today. It's not persecution that causes people to quit coming to Jesus. You know what it is? We just get busy. We get distracted. That's what's happened to this guy. It's not like anyone persecuted him for coming to church. Oh, he might have had some old friends that don't understand why he's going to church. But for most of us, we just get distracted. But I would encourage you, make Jesus the priority of your life. Make Jesus number one in your life. Don't just run to Jesus, but stay. Now, here's the key. See, Mary Magdalene, we're getting ready to see here. Do you know who the first person to see Jesus alive after his death was? Mary Magdalene. Peter and John didn't get to see Jesus after Mary because they went home, but Mary stayed. Here's what I've learned. Listen. If you will stay with Jesus, you'll get a fresh revelation of Jesus. But so many times, we leave right before the revelation comes. We don't just run to Jesus when we have a need. We don't just run to Jesus when we need a life change. We have to stay in Jesus to get a fresh revelation of Jesus. Amen? Now, I love this next part. Look at this. We're getting ready to see the resurrected Jesus, the first person to ever see Jesus after his death. Look with me in John chapter 20, verse 12. Then Mary saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and other at the foot at the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. So she looked at the tomb, and they placed Jesus like on this ledge. And at the head where Jesus' head was laid, there's now an angel. And at the foot where his foot was, now there's another angel. Can you imagine? Mary looks in and there's two angels sitting there. And they said, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Now remember, Mary's crying hysterically because she's grieving the loss of Jesus. The angel asked her, "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave. So catch this. Mary looks in the tomb. She turns to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Now, some people say, how can Mary not recognize Jesus? Well, let's think about it. Number one, she was crying what? Uncontrollably. You ever cry? I mean, your eyes, you're slobbering. Like, you don't see real good. Second of all, it doesn't say Jesus showed up 2 feet in front of her face. That would have scared the daylights out of Mary, right? Can you imagine? I mean, think about it. You look in a tomb, you see two angels, and you turn around and someone's standing right there. Mary would have wet her pants, right? I mean, that's not good. So Jesus didn't just pop up right in front of her. He's off to the side. In the tomb, my wife and I have been where we historically think Jesus, the tomb of Jesus is still there. It is in a garden. So here's this man in a garden, Mary's crying, and she looks over there. She doesn't, she thinks Jesus is dead. She's not looking for Jesus. She sees a man and goes, "There's the gardener." She didn't recognize him. But then Jesus said, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Can I ask you this morning? Who are you looking for, or what are you looking for in life? What do you think is going to make you happy? Do you think more money is going to make you happy? Do you think a bigger house is going to make you happy? Do you think a certain job is going to make you happy? Do you think a certain relationship is going to make you happy? Let me tell you something, friend. That stuff may make you happier for a little while, but in the end, it'll leave you high and dry. All the money, I know rich people who are just as miserable as poor people, don't you? I know people who live in big houses, and they're more lonely than people who live in little houses. I know people who drive fast cars, but down deep inside at night, they're crying themselves to bed because they're lonely and hurting. Listen, money and fame and position will not make you happy. So Jesus is asking Mary, who are you looking for? What are you looking for? What do you think is going to make you happy today? And she said, "Sir, if you've taken him, tell me where you put Jesus, and I'll go get him." And then the next word that Jesus said changed Mary's life forever, because Jesus said her name. "Mary," Jesus said, and she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. Can you imagine that moment? The moment when Jesus called Mary by name. But I've got good news. Everybody listen to me. Jesus is calling you by name today. So you're not here by accident.
Ticey, Jesus is calling your name today. Chasen, Jesus is calling your name today. Brooke, Jesus is calling your name today. Allison, Jesus is calling your name today. See, Jesus is still calling names. Preston, my friend, Jesus is calling your name today. Jesus still calls us by our name. And when Jesus says your name, it will change your life forever. See, Mary had two incredible encounters with Jesus. One, when she was cleansed of demon possession, and that set her free. But the day she heard Jesus say, Mary, is the day that changed Mary for the rest of her life. And I want you to know, Jesus is calling your name today. You're not here by accident. You're not here by just your choice or the choice of a family member, a friend who invited you, or maybe you saw an invitation on social media. You came here today for one reason. That's to hear Jesus calling your name. He's calling you by name today because he sees you. See, Jesus died for the whole world, but he also died for you as an individual. Luke, Jesus is calling your name today, friend. He's calling your name. He's looking down from heaven, and he loves you. We know Jesus loves the whole world. You know what? It's totally different. We recognize Jesus loves me. He loves you. That when he died on the cross, your name was in his heart. When he rose again, he brought freedom for you. And I want you to, I'm going to be silent here for a minute, just for a second. And I want you to listen. Not with your ears, your physical ears, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen with your heart this morning. Because here's what I believe. I believe this morning, if you'll listen with your heart, you'll hear Jesus call your name. That video has said it doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter about your victories or your failures, Jesus calls your name. So I want to invite you, with the ears of your heart, will you listen for the voice of Jesus calling you by name? Well, I thank you that you know us by name. We're not strangers to you. You're our friend. You know our hopes and our dreams. You know our fears and our worries. You know us by name. And God, you never turn your back from us. You never reject us. You call us by name because you want us to come to you. You want us to know you. Look with me at chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus told Mary, "Don't cling to me, for I haven't ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." When Mary heard Jesus called her by name, you know what she did? She clung to Jesus. Because she thought it would go back like it used to be, that even though Jesus was resurrected, she would follow him and live with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Oh, don't cling to me. I'm going up to my Father. I've got a new life for you." Listen to me. If you want to stay with Jesus after you hear him call him by name, you can't cling to your old life. You got to walk into the new life Jesus has for you. Can I tell you something, friend? What Jesus has for you is better than anything you've ever known. The Bible says he has a good life for you. Do you know when I first heard Jesus call me by name? I was 9 years old. 9 years old.
This sanctuary wasn't built yet, where the children meet, called Byram Hall, and I was in a service. And at some point, the preacher back then, his name was Brother Byram, like then, gave opportunity for people. I'm telling you, every head was bowed and every eye was closed, and something inside of me was burning. I was 9 years old. I'm not even sure I completely understood what that was. I just knew he was calling my name. I just knew, the nine-year-old boy, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was saying, Kevin, Kevin, I'm here for you. Kevin, I love you. Kevin, I want to forgive you. Kevin, I've got a good life for you. Kevin, follow me. Kevin, I'm here to heal you. Kevin, I'm here because I love you. 9 years old, and in my being, my inmost being, called my name. Called my name. But I couldn't cling to what I knew. After I heard him call my name, I had to walk in the new life. I couldn't keep living like I used to live. I couldn't keep doing what I used to do. I couldn't keep walking down the roads I used to walk. Even as a nine-year-old boy, and I don't know if I'd done anything other than maybe steal some chocolate chips or something, you know what I mean? I was nine. I had not committed any great crime or any great sin. But I knew at nine, couldn't keep walking the way I was walking. Couldn't cling to that old thing. I had to walk in the new. I had to walk in the new. Now look at the last verse. Verse number 18. Look what happened. Then Mary Magdalene found the disciples. Look how changed she was. And she told them, I've seen the Lord. So your last point is, once you hear Jesus call your name, your purpose is to help other people find Jesus so they call his name. Mary went to the disciples. She only had one message. I've seen Jesus. He called my name. I thought he was a gardener. I thought he had stolen the body. I was trying to find where they played the body. But then, you know what? He turned around and he said, Mary. My life changed. I saw Jesus. I experienced, and every one of you, you have people who need to know Jesus like you do. You have people that you need to go to and say, I've seen the Lord. He changed me. He made me new. So right now, we'll give everybody here an opportunity to respond to Jesus, because I believe with everything in me, he's calling some of your names. He's telling you down deep. You know it. You could feel it right now where you're set. It's like a bowl of something just boiling up inside of you. It's kind of like when you take a Coke can and just shake it. It's about to explode. Some of you right now are feeling that down deep inside. You're hearing, not with your physical ears, but you're hearing with the ears of your heart, Jesus saying, I love you. I want to forgive you. I'm here for you. Kevin. Mary. I'm calling your name. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you hear Jesus calling your name, maybe it's the first time you've ever accepted Christ as your Savior and you're like, I need to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you lived for God in the past, but you've walked away, and Jesus is calling your name today. He's calling you home. He's calling you back. He wants you to come back to him, and you know you need to do a U-turn. You need to quit walking the way you're walking, and you need to turn around and go the way, because you're hearing the whisper of your name. And here's what I learned. Jesus will not shout your name. He will not force you to go to him, but he's whispering this morning. He's saying your name. He's calling you home. He wants you to be a part of his family. He's speaking your name today. If you want to respond to Jesus this morning by giving him your life, I want you without hesitation because you're hearing the name. I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to wait. I want you, as soon as I say it, I want you to lift that hand up immediately. I'm going to count to three. Number one, he's calling you. You hear his name. Two, it's getting ready to come. It's getting ready to come. When you hear three, I want you to raise your hand because you're not because of me, not because we're manipulating you, because you hear Jesus call your name. Three, raise it up right now. Raise it up right now. Come on, don't hesitate. I see that hand. Thank you. Who else? Who else this morning? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see our hands going up all over the circle. Who else? I see that hand, sir. Yes, thank you. Who else? He's calling my name. He's calling my name. I hear Jesus saying my name. I want to commit my life to Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Yes, I see your hand. Who else? You're hearing him. I see your hand. Oh, thank you so much. Young and old, first time or been here for years, raise your hand. You hear him calling your name. He's speaking to you today. Who else? Come on. Oh, I see that hand. Thank you so much. It takes courage. It takes courage. Amen. Amen. Who else? You hear him calling your name. There's been about 10. Who else? Who else this morning? I don't want you to miss it. Easter come once a year. Don't miss this day. Don't miss your chance. Listen, don't get so hard from God that you can't hear him talking your name anymore. That can happen. You can get so hard-hearted that your ears close and you can't hear anymore. Come on. Who else? Just last time. Last time. I want you to lift your hand. I hear Jesus calling my name. I want to respond. Raise your hand real quick. Come on. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everybody in here to repeat this prayer with me. And if you say this prayer from your heart and you mean it, Jesus is calling your name. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. And I hear you calling me by name. And my answer this morning is yes, Lord. Yes to Jesus. I'm running to you, and I'm going to stay with you. I admit that I'm a sinner. I've done things I knew were wrong, and I ask that you forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he rose again. He's alive today, and I commit my whole life to Jesus. I'm not just going to run to you. I'm going to stay with you. In Jesus' name, amen.